Today, on Shipment from Shiloh, I meet up with Jake and Matt to share our favorite decks from the World Championships in Worlds Plaza. Then, in Meta Knight, we debate possible updates to the Most Wanted list. Finally, we reminisce about our awesome Worlds party in Game Day. All this and more on Shipment from Shiloh.
Runners, and welcome to Shipment from Shiloh, a Netrunner community podcast. I am your host, Graham, and joining me today are two of my best meta mates in the whole wide meta. We got Jake.
What's up?
And we got Matt.
Hey.
Welcome back to the show, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, we have a lot to talk about regarding Worlds.
The commentators just sold it,
man. If not for those commentators, I don't even think I would have watched.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been like, I don't even know what Netrunner is anymore.
I just turned the TV around so I could only hear the audio without having to see the game.
That was really smart. More about the announcers later, but we wanted to talk a little bit about Worlds, specifically from the perspective of people who didn't go to Worlds or people who didn't win Worlds, or basically anyone.
Everyone except for
Wilfie. This podcast for you. Wilfie, if you're listening, thanks for tuning in, buddy.
Shut up. It's not for you.
Yeah, but leave. We don't even want you here, man. So first, I thought we would maybe dig into what some of our favorite decks are that popped up over the course of the week since Worlds has ended. And we're going to do that in a first segment called, let's do Worlds Plaza. Alrighty, so guys, a whole bunch of decks have been popping up all over the internet, specifically Netrunner DB, but possibly also like Meteor, if you're into that.
Hipster.
Aku.net, I think, is a place. I had you guys pick out a runner and a corp that you each liked that people brought to World that you thought were interesting. Maybe you want to play. Maybe you just are giving them some mad props. So let's start off with. A corp deck. Jake, talk to me about a corp deck that you really liked.
So the one that I thought was really impressive was the Scorpios Rush deck. And when Scorpios first came out in Terminal Directive, I remember a lot of people were very excited about it and thought it had a lot of potential, but yeah. It just sort of seemed to fizzle out shortly thereafter. And it was always around, but it was never like one of the major contenders. So I was really excited to see this make it further into Worlds than I think a lot of people expected. So the thing that I really, really liked about it, obviously it works with the idea, is the standoff agenda.
Yeah, so standoff being the 2-for-0 agenda, that when you score it, the runner has to either can like basically say no thanks, and they give you a draw and like five credits or something.
Yep.
Or they have to trash one of their own cards. If they trash one of their own cards, you the corp can say nah, no thanks, and nothing happens, or you trash one of your own cards. So you go back and forth, kind of like a game of chicken, right?
You know, not only does it have that immediate payoff when you score it, that, you know, the runner either trashes cards or you get credits, but that it can serve as sort of this engine later on when you need those agendas to forfeit, mm-hmm. Like when you want to res a Tithonium or something like that.
Yeah.
So I really like that card, and I really like it in Scorpios, because if the runner does stupidly decide to trash something, it's gone from the game and they can never get it back.
Right.
So that just changed, right? Because it couldn't used to be you would trash any card, so you could the runner could trash a corp card, the corp could trash a runner card.
Which was nonsense, and they fixed it so that you could only trash your own card.
I kind of like that original one, though.
Well, so the original one's more high stakes, right? Like, basically, if you think of it really simplistically, the old version before the FAQ was that you lost your best card on the table. Usually, your best card is pretty good, so like you don't really want to do that. Now, it's you always lose your worst card. But yeah, no, I think it's really interesting now. So,
and what's really fun with that is that because it's a 0-point agenda, if the runner steals it, who cares? But from the court perspective, that actually opens up the window for Hunter Seeker.
Yeah.
And so in Scorpios, you can still trash something even if the runner were to steal standoff.
That's pretty cool.
So I feel like with the changes that they made in the latest FAQ, that its synergy with Scorpios really increased there. So I like that card a lot.
Looks like this deck also has three Marcus Batty. Play a side game if successful, fire off one of the subroutines on a piece of ice in the server. So that's always good for firing off a trash program subroutine from the archer or a roto turret. Or it also serves as like an extra end the run.
Right. And those, you know, must score situations where you can't give up that agenda. But I think, you know, I would guess probably in most cases, they're going to try to fire off a trash a program.
Yeah.
To get rid of, you know, maybe a magnum opus or something like that. Something critical that without having installed, the runner really doesn't have much of a chance.
Mm-hmm. Also, they've got three best defense, which is when best defense came out, I was like, this card is really specialized. Best defense being an operation that trashes a card whose cost is equal to or less than how many tags they have. So in a tag storm deck, it makes sense. There's no tagging cards, though, in the Scorpios deck. So But it trashes zero cost cards. And everyone and their mother is playing three sacrificial constructs, especially if they're Shaper, but even other factions too. So getting rid of the sacrificial constructs is really good so that your Hunter Seekers can land.
Right.
Yeah, man, this is a cool deck. Matt, you got a corp for us?
Yeah, so the corp I've been looking at, it's called World Cup Next. And it is Next Design, which is one of my favorite IDs since I started playing Netrunner. This is an X design that's running Grail Ice, which I'm sure has been done before. Three each, Galahad, Merlin, and Lancelot. And it's Next, so it wants to rush. Get down some ice early, throw an agenda in there, score it out. It's also running MCA Austerity Policy because that card is really, really good.
Why not throw it in there?
Every deck can use an MCA Austerity Policy, right?
Even my runner deck.
Right?
Still throw it in.
Throw in some assets.
So yeah, so it's got the MCA, so you can fast advance your agendas if your runner can't challenge that. Jeeves for more fast advance. Three Biotic Labor. It just seems really good. This is definitely one I'm going to sleeve up and bring to our next Tuesday night meetup.
Sweet. Well, I really like the synergy here because the Grail Suite is so good at rushing. Right? Because all the Grail Ice says on encounter, you get to reveal other Grail Ice from your hand, and then whatever Grail Ice is on the table gains those subs from the other Grail Ice that's in your hand. So if you have a Galahad, that means all of your Grail Ice is in the run, which is great, obviously. You're trying to rush out really fast. But then you also get Lancelot's Trash a Program sub in there, which is at the very least a huge tempo hit, if not possibly, you know, helping to lock someone out a little bit. And then Merlin does 2 net damage, which just means that you can't run repeatedly. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you get to knock key pieces out. But basically, it means all these face checks for Grail Ice hurts a lot. They're all pretty low strength, which means they're not that expensive to break, but if you are trying to win by turn 10, like this rush deck is, then who cares, right?
Yeah, and one of the agendas is Successful Field Test, which when you score, you can install any number of cards from HQ, ignoring all costs. So you've already got that great initial setup with the Next Design, 2 or 3 pieces of ice down, mm-hmm. maybe 3 or 4 after turn 1, and then you score one of those out really quickly, all of a sudden you've got 6, 7 pieces of ice down, you didn't even pay for it, and you just keep rushing from there.
Yeah.
It seems strong, and I'm excited to play it. It looks like a lot of fun.
I really like the inclusion of cyber decks in here, given how prevalent that big bad turtle is. And, you know, with low strength ice, it can just stroll right on through for very little credit. So having that option to purge virus counters without having to waste a turn, I think is, you know, may not always be used, right. But when you have it and you need it, it's good to have it included there.
Or if they're only running turtle as their active breaker right now, and they run into the Galahad or whatever that's on the table, you show them the Lancelot, and then at the same time you flip over Cyberdex and purge, and now they can't break it with turtle, and you trash the turtle, right? there's a lot of cool tricks you can do with that.
Yeah, it's plus, you know, preventing clots.
Yeah.
Since you are in a 3 biotic, you're trying to do some fast advance with the MCA and all that. So.
And macrophage. I've become a big macrophage fan lately.
Yeah.
Except when your opponent's running Fester, right, Jake?
Yeah, that when they have three of them installed, it can be a bit of a problem.
Dude, Fester's the new meta. I've seen it.
Fester into macrophage to make over the core blue six.
Right? Over. It's genius.
It's something.
It's a card. So my corp deck of choice that I wanted to talk about is the Many-Headed Loch Ness Monster, which was the top Ag Infusion deck. It made the top 16. There were a couple people who were on it. It looks like it was a deck that a lot of the guys from Team UK were going to use, but then some of them maybe switched over to a different ID at the last minute. So the Many-Headed Loch Ness Monster is a modern version of the Hydra deck that was popular this summer that I think Dave Hoyland made. He brought it to regionals. The concept is just that you're doing Jinteki Glacier stuff, but then you put in a couple of tech startups that let you search your deck for assets, and then you include a bunch of one-of assets to counter whatever the runner strategy is. So you kind of have a toolbox of tech cards. Probably the main tech card that they include in this is that MCA Austerity Policy. If you're not familiar with the card yet, you should become familiar with it because it's great. Basically,
you're going to lose to it soon.
Yeah, right. Basically, you spend a click to put a power counter on the MCA Austerity Policy, and on the runner's next turn, they lose a click. You can only do that once per turn, but once you have three counters on it, you can pop the MCA Austerity Policy and gain four clicks. You can pop it on the same turn that you put the third counter on it, and then you have enough clicks to fast advance a 4-2. Or you put the third counter on it, wait a turn, and then you have enough clicks to fast advance a 5-3. So, really good. Obviously, this is running Nisei Mark IIs with the 4-for-2 that gives you an end the run agenda counter.
I just want to emphasize, when you score those out early game, even just one, that can make a huge difference. And, you know, we always talk about the Astro Train where you score Project Atlas and you can just use the counters to go from there. I feel like Nisei is almost the same thing. You score one early and then you can just use that to score the next one. And then you can use that to score the next one. And especially if you have Taxing Ice in front of that scoring remote, being able to make them pay all the way through to just pop that counter and end the run is a huge, huge advantage. Yeah. Especially in this ID where you can also redirect them to another server again.
Right.
And then three Marcus Batty is another backup to that. It's like the old Caprice Ash days a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. So some other cool stuff that they have in here, IT department. I wasn't really playing Netrunner when IT department came out, was popular, but the idea is that you can spend clicks to put power counters on it, and then you can spend power counters to boost ice strength, but it does the ice strength boost in a weird way where you have to like kind of look up the math on a chart to understand exactly like what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
But basically the idea is it works kind of like a corporate troubleshooter or a Sandberg where you can pump the ice strength really high on a piece of ice. So he's chosen to combine that with a Tithonium. Tithonium has two, it's a barrier, 9 cost. It has 3 subs, and it's Treasure Program, and then the last sub is Treasure Resource and End the Run. So I'm assuming that he's combining Tithonium with this IT department, where they try to run the IT department to try to trash it or something, and then they make you hit like a strength 20 Tithonium and then like trash half your rig. So that's obviously really strong. It's got a blacklist, which prevents the runner from recurring a bunch of stuff. Not as strong as it used to be, but it's helpful for like heat breakers and things like that. Same old things. Also, I think there were some shapers that were running like ShadowNet to recur events. So kind of got around that. It's got a Whampoa Reclamation, which helps you filter agendas out of HQ. And then Melange Mining Core is a neat thing to tutor up. You know, you keep tech startup in your remote. They don't run it, so then you res the tech startup, pull up a Melange, and then spend your turn immediately gaining the 7. And if they don't get in there right away, you can get another 7. So yeah, a lot of neat stuff in here. The rest of it's basically good stuff, Jinteki. And so I'm really impressed with this, and props to Seamus for making it to sixth place at Worlds with this. Cool. So let's move on to the runner side. Jake, what any runners catch your eye here?
Yeah. So, you know, didn't win. The ID didn't win. There weren't that many of them, but I was really impressed with Ed Kim. So the deck is called Back to Work Kim.
Nice.
I watched a few matches with it, and I was just really impressed at when it worked, it could really fire on all cylinders and extremely disrupt what the corp was trying to do. I saw a few matches, and one that sticks out in my mind was against CTM, where I think they were able to access all three hard-hitting newses, and through Kim's ability, just trash him right away, not have to pay anything.
Hmm.
And there were so many points in that game where had the corp been able to draw or to play the hard-hitting news, it just would have been over from that point on. So being able to avoid all those extra tags and stop, you know, them from rushing out, either a GFI with a psychographics, which lets them advance for however many tags the runner has, or overscore Project Beal, they just kind of neutralized that threat immediately. A few things that stuck out to me as well is the fact that they included Hunting Ground, which was really, really unique. And I think a few decks actually included this, although, you know, in our meta, we really haven't seen it get any play. But against anything like Data Raven or Tollbooth especially, if you have a breaker that can easily get to five strength and you don't have to pay those three credits for Tollbooth, it's really not that effective of a piece of ice with Hunting Grounds in play. So I thought that was really cool. Also, the inclusion of one political operative, which can have some cool uses.
Really strong right now, I think.
Yeah, Graham, you and I actually had a match on Tuesday where you were able to neutralize my Ronin by activating your
political operative
in between my res and clicking to use the Ronin. So I think that's a good one-up to include in a lot of decks here.
Mm-hmm.
The Breaker Suite was, you know, kind of what you expected. Had the heap breakers from Anarch that you can bring in from your heap. They're included one Femme, which I think is always a good choice.
Yeah.
If you ever encounter a really strong piece of ice, just being able to bypass it and not have to worry about it.
It's got a retrieval run too, so you can cheat that Femme into play, which I like.
Oh yeah, yeah. And they have some imps too, which I think is really important as well, because similar to Ed Kim's ability, just being able to trash anything regardless of whether it has a trash cost or not is something that can be very useful. I did think it was interesting though that the build that we're looking at only had one knife. In terms of the, you know, ice trashing events. I'm surprised it wasn't a spooned, given how prevalent Fairchild 3 is.
Yeah.
I feel like people usually include spoons so they don't have to deal with that over and over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also surprised there was only one, you know. But I guess when you're relying on all of the other cards and you only have a few things that you can include, that, you know, barriers are always good to get rid of, especially if you're expecting to go up against a Tithonium or something like that.
Right, right. Maybe included the knife for like a Kukugo.
Oh, could be, yeah.
That's probably the best target for knife, but otherwise barriers aren't crazy relevant. So I'm also surprised by that. What do you think about including Employee Strike over one of the other restricted cards, like a Film Critic or, you know, something like that?
Given the fact it's Anarch and the limited influence that you have, I think Employee Strike's the right way to go. Film Critic, I feel like, is very good in certain situations and completely worthless in others. It is only one influence, the same as Employee Strike, but I feel like Employee Strike can have a more universal impact than what you would see with Film Critic. If it was Shaper, obviously you'd pick a different restricted card given the options that you have, but with Anarch, I feel like it's almost always going to be Employee Strike.
Yeah, and obviously Employee Strike is, in theory, good against Cerebral Imaging, which was very prevalent at Worlds.
Yeah. I mean, good against TU.
Good against Ag Infusion?
Yeah, it's always good.
It's always good.
Unless the corp is next design.
Hey, there you go. Playing around Employee Strike.
That's the reason to play next.
There you go. A couple extra installs, a couple extra draws.
It is a reason to play next.
It is one reason to play next. So, Matt, talk to me about one of the runners that you really liked that came out of Worlds.
So, just in the past couple of weeks, I've been getting back into Sunny.
Sunny LeBeau.
Sunny LeBeau. And there was a Sunny Runners deck that went 6-2 at Worlds.
Pretty good for a mini faction. What did they finish at?
33rd.
Nice.
They said their CTM Corp was the weak point. So looks like this started off as a Sanjay deck. And now Murphy.
Who published it.
Yeah.
Shout outs to Sanjay. You're the man. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Also, I hope to play you in the next Cash Refresh online tournament. Carry on, Matt.
Got it. All right. So Sunny Little here. A lot of this stuff is typical stuff you would see in Sunny. Obviously, you have Daily Cast, Data Folding, Mr. Phones, a.k.a. Underworld Contact. You've got...
I mean, the way he holds that darn phone, though, is, like, so weird. I still can't get over it.
It's the future. Phones have changed, Graham.
Okay, so let's take a bet real quick. Revised Core said they changed a lot of the art. Are they going to change the art on Underworld Contact?
No, because it came out, like, 4 years ago.
So they're still changing the art on, like, DataSucker and stuff.
Yeah, but well, maybe they'll change it, but not just the phone. Like, are you thinking that they're going to put in an iPhone or a smartphone or something?
No, I'm thinking they're going to just change the art totally, because right now the guy is, like giving himself, like, arthritis the way that he's holding that phone up.
Oh, I thought you were saying the phone wasn't new enough.
It's possible he has bonitis, and that's just how he has to...
How insensitive of you, Graham, to mock someone with that.
Maybe he's got a condition known as raptor arms, and he just has to hold his phone like a raptor. Anyway.
So, Sunny, we've got Herbreakers, Sherman, Shrike, and Striker, the Cloudbreakers, that are really expensive to use, but Sunny can make you a lot of money, so it's okay. Three Tap Worm, because... Tap Worm's pretty good.
I just love it as a tempo card, right? Like, you run a central server, you get your single access off of R&D, then you play the Tapeworm, and then they have to lose their entire next turn if they don't want to give you a bunch of money over the next game, right?
Yeah, and one thing I found in Sunny is there would be a lot of games where I'd be sitting at, like, 4 points, 5 points, and I would need, like, one or two more turns, and I would for sure win the game.
Mm-hmm.
And the Corp was able to score out in that time. So what I just... try to think of ways that I could give myself extra turns, essentially, in Sunny. And Tapworm is one of those.
Yeah.
Right? The Corp has to purge. They're losing a turn. You're gaining an extra turn, essentially.
And I feel like early game, too, that can have a huge impact because the Corp gets that starting round. And I often feel like, as the Corp player, that I need that first turn to stay ahead and get my ice set up, get the credits I need to res them and keep them out and protect the agendas. And so when you see a runner play Tapworm on turn one and... You know, if you're at a point where you don't want them to have that money trickle in every turn, it can be a huge setback to have to purge early on. And so I feel like you're always then playing catch up, and the runner now has the advantage, and you're trying to keep up with them.
Yeah. So the Sunny deck then includes the Sacrificial Construct package along with the Tapeworm package, right, and then also throws in Clot.
Yeah. Three Sacon, three Tapeworm, two Clone Ships, so you could even... Clone ship your Tap Worms back, which is a fun trick. I was doing that out of Chaos Theory a little bit. Some tech cards in here: Biometric Spoofing, Citadel Sanctuary.
Yeah.
Three Street Peddler, which is really good. Get you drawing those cards. Most of Sunny's cards are things that you can install, so Street Peddler is going to get you a lot of value there.
Yeah.
Some interesting choices here that I think I need to play in order to really develop my opinion on them. They're using Freedom Through Equality instead of Sunny's current, Another Day, Another Paycheck. So Freedom Through Equality is a three-cost current, and when you steal an agenda, you add a Freedom Through Equality to your score area as an agenda worth 1 point. Whereas with Sunny's currents, when you steal an agenda, you gain, or you do a trace one, which you're probably going to win as Sunny, but then you gain credits equal to the number of points both players have scored.
Yeah, it seems really strong to me, but you are kind of lukewarm on it, right?
Yeah, so the way I was, you know, I was playing it a little bit, and, you know, I played it once and gained, like, 7 credits, and I was like, this is really cool. But by the time I'm actually running and stealing agendas with Sunny, I feel like I'm already in the mid-game. I've got down, like, 3 or 4 cards that are dripping me credits every turn.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems more like a win more card. Whereas I think getting that extra agenda point from Freedom Through Equality can be really helpful.
Yeah.
Just maybe needing to steal one less agenda that could That's the extra turn thing again, right?
Right.
I mean, how many times have we been at 6 points exactly. as the runner and been like, damn it, I just wish I had that one more.
Well, it also works with the two legwork that Murphy has in here. And, you know, he's got the global sec security clearance that lets you spend a click to look at the top card of R&D at the mm-hmm. start of your turn. So there's multiple ways to use that freedom, which makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like with Sunny's current... I feel like it rewards you for being more aggressive with Sunny, which is kind of against the grain for what she's wired to do. So if you can find ways to do that with like inside jobs and DDoSes, then you can get a lot of burst money from your current. And it's more than just like an easy mark worth of yeah. burst money because it stays on the table. But if you're using all these tricks, they're usually 3 or 4 influence. So you can't have a ton of them.
Yeah,
they're hard to find in your 50-card deck. I don't know, man. I feel like you just need 1 or 2 more cards to help make her current work.
Mm. There was another Sunny deck on here that was running 3 inside jobs and
it oh, wow. was
like very kind of criminal Sunny,
mm-hmm.
Which also looked like a lot of fun.
I like that thematically, criminal Sunny.
After right. dark Sunny.
That's right.
the she kids put... go to bed.
That's awesome.
I'm surprised we don't see at least one Mad Dash in here with global sec security clearance. I know the freedoms are in there, but freedom plus Mad Dash, if you see an agenda on R&D and you can get in there, that's 2 extra points.
Oh, like use both of them
yeah,
together.
Like, yeah, like you lose the click to see R&D, install freedom, and mm-hmm. then Mad Dash in.
I feel like you would need to really commit to that. So then you do like 2 Mad Dash, 2 Freedom Through Equality, probably 2 Global Sec Security Clearance to get it early enough to see enough cards with it. You maybe commit to that strategy, but that's super viable. I mean, my friend Ross was doing that out of smoke with 3 indexing.
Yep.
And he would really prided himself on the deck because he only needed 2 accesses to win.
Right.
He just needed to set up indexing plays and then he could Freedom Mad Dash, and then Mad Dash for the last one, and then be done with it. So it's pretty cool.
One other thing I've liked about Sunny is PU has been pretty big in the meta recently.
Yeah, especially at Worlds. PU was huge.
Yeah, and I mean, just having those extra 5 cards can be a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, card advantage becomes a big thing in those PU matchups. They're just trying to grind you down so that you can't run through that Kagugo again to do anything. And those extra 5 cards, that can be the difference between losing that matchup and winning the game.
Right. Not to mention, PU is usually not geared to rush out, and that's how you beat Sunny, because Sunny's late game is usually pretty abominable
mm-hmm.
once you start getting 4 to 6 credits every turn, right?
Yeah.
Now, Matt, what do you think about not having any rabbit holes in here?
So that was the other thing I was sort of questioning. It does run 2 Sports Hopper, which I guess gives you the extra link, and if you need it, you can draw the cards.
And the console gives you link, right?
Yep.
Right. I think maybe he decided to use Sports Hopper just because he didn't have the influence for Rabbit Hole. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think it's a viable substitution?
Yeah, I think when you look at the way the influence was used on other things, it works out, and obviously it did well. And I guess if you were going to go down that real link-heavy path, you'd probably maybe want to think about some...
Rabbit Hole.
Right, yeah. You'd want some power taps maybe in there as well.
Mm.
So that you can really start to get some money going. And, you know, that would do very well against CTM. But I think the point we were talking about earlier about how well PU did, I kind of like the Sports Hopper now.
Mm.
You don't have as much link. You might have to pay more for traces, especially the ones fired from Security Nexus, where you're choosing to do that. But at the same time, you're a little protected against net or meat damage there by being able to draw cards. It also helps filter through the 50-card deck, which I think anyone that's played Sunny knows that those extra 5 cards often feel like they can cost you a game sometimes.
Yeah. You're
furiously digging for the breaker you need.
Yeah. I'm wondering if, like, I'm thinking of myself as the Corp, and assuming that I have an average number of credits, we'll say between 5 and 15, the runner has roughly around the same, more than 5, and let's say they hit a Security Nexus trace and they only have the 3 link. They have the 1 from Nexus and the 2 from the ID. So it starts at a trace of 5. If I pay 2 credits, then the runner has to pay 4. But then they'll still get passed. I could spend 5 credits and the runner has to pay 7. I could pay you know, maybe 10 credits and get the runner to actually, like, not bypass the ice, and then they just end the run. But they're not going to hit the ice ever, and that's 10 credits I just sunk into an end the run, right? Even though I gave Sunny a tank, but then she just clears it because she didn't spend any money. There's very few situations where I really feel like it is advantageous for me as the corp to boost the security nexus trace, regardless on if they have extra link or not. So
you're saying that those extra rabbit holes don't really matter when it comes to that situation, which is why I was thinking about the power tap instance. Because if you can get your link up and then you have those power taps installed, not only do you have the ability to pass the ice, you're also actually making money on the trace.
Because
your link will meet the trace unless the corp wants to spend a ton of money. Plus, you're getting those credits from Power Tap. But that's almost like a whole different build from what we have going on here. Yeah, and we have to remember, it looks like there was a tap worm in here as well.
There's three of them as well.
I also like Clot as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think
Ship Clot can save you that extra turn to go in there.
I think a lot of the corp's best tricks right now are Fast Advance. So like that MCA Austerity that we've been talking about, like that's one of the better cards in the game. And, you know, you think about how Wayland, like Titan, you know, you have Shipment from Tenon that is also usually in like Jinteki decks too. And then you've got Audacity. And so there's all these things that corps can use to really pull in the end of the game. And Clot shuts all of those down. So Clot's in a really good spot.
Especially when you have, with CI being so prevalent, where the corp can just hide their agendas in their hand with 10 other cards.
Yeah.
And it's like, good luck finding it.
Yeah.
And so they get those turns where they have everything they need. They can just fast advance, and there's really not a whole lot of risk to just holding them in HQ until that comes around. And Clot says, oh, no, you're going to actually have to install it and wait a turn.
Yeah. So also a really popular deck at Worlds this year was Rewired CI.
Yeah.
Which fast advances a brain rewiring to get you down to one card and then does damage. To kill you. So Clot also shuts down that strategy pretty hard because you can't fast advance the brain rewiring. So on top of it being just generally good against a lot of corp tricks, it also shut down a major archetype that was at the event. Honestly, seeing that Clot is in a non-shaper deck makes me want to put it into Anarch decks with the Sacrificial Constructs.
That's only one influence.
The Sacrificial Constructs are only one influence.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to pay influence for the Clot.
Right.
And
you may as well throw in a tap worm then, too.
You might as well throw in a tap worm.
Put it all in there.
Anarchs have a lot of good cards, so they've got influence to spare.
Right.
So, Graham, what runner deck were you interested in from Worlds?
So, I got to go with the top criminal deck, which was a Geist deck. And I'm not surprised to see Geist as the top criminal, because after the rotation and new Most Wanted list, criminal lost all of their best cards. But what that really did was shine a light on how the criminal card pool was constructed, which was, we're going to give you Account Siphon, which is super strong. And then we're going to give you Temujin Contract, which is a super strong economy card. And then a bunch of other average strength cards. And the only problem with that from a design standpoint is that your faction can hit a critical mass of really powerful cards, so you can't keep giving them good cards. And that's what we're seeing with Criminal, I think, in the current meta, where you take away their two best cards and they're left over with not a whole lot else, which is why there wasn't another Criminal ID that was even remotely close to doing well. And if you look at the percentages for like who brought which factions, Criminal was at like 7% of all the factions, and Shaper's at 48 and Anarch's at 35 or whatever the math is on that. So anyway, I'm giving mad props to Heinzel for bringing the German Geist deck. It was 12 at Worlds.
The German Geist deck, you say?
The German Geist deck. Wow, that's terrible.
So offensive. First the British, now the Germans. Is no one safe from your ridicule?
Oi!
My God.
Oh my God. Yeah, so anyway, shout-outs to Heinzel for bringing the German Geist deck, for representing Criminal, and for going with, quite honestly, was against the common mindset for what people thought was going to do well.
I will say, before we dive into the details, I'm actually surprised Geist has become the top Criminal ID, because I thought, you know, there was a lot of chatter that when Scorpios came out as the Corp,
yeah,
people thought Geist might not be that great, because if you're constantly trashing cards on both your turn and the Corp's turn, they're removed from game, and its reliance on Levy of being able to recycle those.
Yeah.
You know, having them not in the heat could pose an issue, but I agree that Geist seems to be the strongest ID out there for Criminal.
So here's what I like about Scorp as a design space. Scorp is not an asset. It is not even a current. It is an ID, which means that you have to commit to that being your ID ability when you build a deck. So runners that are relying a little bit more on recursion, like a Geist deck or whatever, only have to worry about running into that matchup.
Right.
Now, granted, there's Arc Lockdown, which can remove your levies and stuff from the game. But if you suspect an Arc Lockdown, then, you know, you try to play around it. And there's maybe a little bit more counterplay than just this constant Scorpios ability that says, like, whenever you trash your stuff, I get to choose if I want to remove it.
And, you know, this was probably a good call to bring this, because, as we saw, Wayland wasn't that prevalent.
Exactly.
At Worlds.
He even points out here in the write-up that there were so many Shapers, and they're all playing three Sacrificial Construct, and I think a lot of people expected that, so they didn't bring Scorpios, because you've got those Saccons to save everything. It's pretty good meta call here.
Yeah, I think so. You also commented on Geist being the best Criminal, and I'm actually not that surprised, because the classic Criminal, which would have been, it would have been like an Andromeda deck that had, you know, your account siphons and your inside jobs and just a whole bunch of money cards and then breakers, probably important from other factions. And Geist never did that, because he's basically his own mini faction. He has his own engine that relies on his ID and then tech traders, so that whenever he uses a trash can ability, he gets money and a card. So all of the Criminal tools that the faction lost, Geist was hardly ever playing anyway. Sometimes I saw a couple account siphons, but the first 6 months that Tech Trader was out, like, no one put account siphon into Geist.
Yeah, that's a good point you made, that he almost has his own little mini space within Criminal, that he has his cards and then everyone else has their other staples that all the other IDs use.
Yeah. So this is a Geist list that uses Off-Campus Apartment for draw, along with all the other common tools that you see in Geist, stuff like Tech Trader, Street Peddler, Dean Lister, that kind of stuff. What caught my eye about it is that there's only 4 Icebreakers and not like 12, because there's no Spike, Shiv, or Crowbar.
Right.
It's only got Abigail, Mongoose, Paperclip, and Awamakua, the Toidal. So he is basically just setting up a regular rig. And then instead of now he freed up a bunch of slots. So he put in stuff like Underworld Contact, where he just gets this really strong late game too, by getting the drip economy every turn. Or he could slot in tech cards like Political Operative. We talked about how that's really strong. Maxwell James is really good. He's got an Interdiction, an Information Sifting, a Legwork, and a Freedom Through Equality. So he's got Information Sifting for the CI matchup. He's got Legwork for everyone else. He's got Freedom Through Equality and Interdiction to get rid of Scarcity. Plus, Freedom works with the 5 spy cameras that he has. So when he sees just like Sunny, when you see the agenda on top of the deck, then you take it.
I really like the one-offs for Information Sifting and Legwork. I feel like we saw that in a bunch of different decks,
right,
from different IDs. They had no relation to each other except those 2 cards. You saw one-offs over and over and over again, because Information Sifting, for, like we said, that CI matchup, where if you can get in and make them separate their hand, there's a good chance you're going to hit it quite a few points there.
Yeah. So quick shout-outs to the designers of the game who put in cards like Information Sifting in the offhand chance that an ID that had a really big hand size became really prevalent.
They made an ID that was too powerful. And,
Laramie
Fisk.
right. You need something that's going to make Laramie Fisk a little bit more viable, truthfully. Jake, I don't know how to tell you this, but the Fisk is not very good.
You know what? I took him apart today. I took that deck apart to make Ken.
Well, Matt and I are huge fans of Ken. Yeah. So
Fisk will always have a special place in my heart.
I'll always
feel a little bit Fisky.
I'll tell you, I really tried to make Fisk work for like a week.
It sounds like you worked really hard. You worked really hard.
Really hard. Yeah.
Last neat thing. Speaking of cards that I've tried to make work forever, Calling in Favors. He's got three.
Sure does.
Calling in Favors. Gain one credit for each connection you have.
Playing that in your
In that Ian deck that I've been. No, I don't, because slots are an issue. But man, this makes me really want to.
He doesn't even have room for barrier breakers in there.
Shut up, Jake. Just because you binned that one barrier breaker, that one game.
You still won.
Yeah.
Black file.
You get caught up in the black file.
Put it on the restricted list.
Ban it. Get out of here. Cool, guys. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about some meta predictions moving forward. So I guess I'm going to call this segment like Meta Knight, because that's like character in Super Smash Brothers from the Kirby games, also has the word meta in it, which is what we're talking about. So,
and no other connection to Netrunner.
Oh, the Knight was also a card in Netrunner. So, yeah, hey, never forget. Okay?
Try to keep your references up to date, Graham.
Shut up. Here's the question.
We need some post-rotation references here, Graham.
Oh, my God. You guys are terrible. So, my question for you is, what NAPD actions do you expect? Most wanted list. We're talking restrictions, we're talking bans, based on what happened at Worlds.
It seems like a lot of things connected to those CI decks might be either banned or restricted.
Sure.
Either you take out the ID itself, ban it, or things like Brian Stinson was a huge part, like the reversed accounts, Brian Stinson combo. A lot of people were using that. Maybe restrict both of those cards. I don't know. Go ahead.
I see more restrictions rather than bans with the CI pieces. I think Brian Stinson should be restricted just because he's an upgrade. If it was an asset that you had to protect in another remote, okay. But being an upgrade with
a five trash cost.
it's just, I think it's a little much. And something that we had talked about earlier is that, you know, if there was a limit to CI's ability and it wasn't an unlimited amount based on how many credits, if there was a cap to say you could only have 10 cards max regardless of how many credits, then it would be more reasonable. I doubt they will ban or restrict an ID, maybe, but it might be that they severely restrict all of the pieces that go into it to make sure there's a little bit more diversity on the corp side.
Restricting CI as an identity is kind of interesting, because if you play CI, then you can't ever include certain cards, so it's kind of like you're banning stuff for a certain ID.
Is there anything necessary in that ID that's currently?
I'd say the clearances.
Well, those aren't on the restricted list, though. So you would have to restrict something else as well.
Right. Fairchild 3 is the only thing that can be restricted.
So you got a Fairchild 2.
Or that is. Right. So you just do Fairchild 2. And you're running vanilla and crap anyway. So. Well,
wow, did you see that portal open up?
What? Who just walked in through that portal? It looks like it's our meta buddy, David. Hey, David. What's going on? Great to see you, as always.
Thanks.
We were just discussing, in response to Worlds, what most wanted list type changes we expected. And we're just discussing cerebral imaging. I think that CI as an ID is only as strong as whatever the money and draw options are. Because when it was just green level and blue level clearance, like you put those into CI because those were appropriate for it. But like, it's not like they made CI that strong. But when you have bonker stuff like one click, violet level clearance, draw four cards, gain three credits, like that's the kind of stuff that really dramatically improves the power of CI. And honestly, you can just put any deck into CI with three ultraviolet, three violet level, and it's going to be pretty good. Like that's just a really simple basic shell. So if they want to get away from that, then I think they can restrict the clearances, particularly violet level, because it's single click. Ultraviolet, you can't play on your first turn, and it's usually three clicks unless you're using Stinson. So it's strong, but it's fine.
What about maybe removing Employee Strike from the runner restricted list? Because Employee Strike would shut down CI's ability if you're able to play it at the right time, and you force them to either play the cards in hand or they have to discard it.
I don't know. I think you just kind of then in CI you just dedicate two or three slots to currents.
To other currents to override.
And you'll almost always have
currents. Right, yeah, that is true. Yeah. That is true.
I think the lack of a count siphon really helps CI exist.
Yeah.
And Employee Strike is just too much of an oppressive card. There are way too many corp IDs that you build around, and then you're just, you can't do that thing your whole deck is built around.
Right, right. I kind of agree with that. So, I don't know, maybe they will give us some more economy warfare type cards that replace the siphon slot, and then maybe that gives us some counterplay to CI, but I would rather have them kind of restrict something in the short term.
They hinted at the preview of card credit kiting for the next cycle, which sounds like it's going to be a better, more fair account siphon.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
So do you think there's a potential issue that if they start printing these weakened replacements like Mining Accident and then the card you just mentioned, are there going to be too many options that if the deck's able to put all of them in play, then it becomes just as oppressive, if not more, than what a count siphon was.
Yeah.
I've already had that before. There's way too many ways to recur events. Shadow Net, same old thing.
Yeah. I think they got to be careful so that they don't hit that critical mass of denial type cards. So that's the problem that CI does from a design standpoint, because there's no cap on it. So then you just put in these crazy clearances. You either restrict the clearances, or if you put in economic warfare cards that are good enough to hamper CI, they're probably going to be borderline too strong for anything that's not CI, right? So, like, I don't know, man. If I were Michael Boggs, I would say, what is Cerebral Imaging doing for the game? And the only answer I can think of is most of the other HB identities are not particularly strong, but HB's card pool is otherwise pretty good. So, you know, maybe you just continue to release kind of average strength HB IDs, you ban Cerebral Imaging, and then you can give that faction some pretty strong cards as long as you make the influence appropriate.
I wouldn't be sad if it was banned. I don't enjoy playing against it. It just feels, it doesn't have the same feel as like a normal Netrunner game. You know what I mean? It seems to come down from the runner perspective too much on luck. It's like if you hit the agendas out of HQ, you're good to go. Most of the time, that won't happen, though.
Right. 1 out of 20 is pretty small chance of hitting anything.
And it's like if you're going to build your deck to combat CI and only CI, then you're going to lose against every other corp because you've become so narrowly focused that you've taken out a lot of decent cards that work in most situations so that you can have really good cards for this one situation.
Right. Like information sifting is not as good as legwork.
Right.
I actually think it's kind of serviceable, and I like the idea of playing mind games as the corp of like, here's a stack of one and here's a stack of four. Now which one's got the points in it?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not as good as legwork, which means that from a competitive standpoint, it's not going to see a lot of play unless Cerebral Imaging is like in the meta.
One card I was wondering about, and I doubt we'll see it restricted, but Scarcity of Resources.
Did work in that finals game, man.
It's not overly powerful, but if it comes down on turn one, it can be really, really devastating. I don't. Maybe the solution is just to have runners put in more slots dedicated to current so that they can override it without having to worry about stealing an agenda. But I feel like it can unfairly swing a game if it comes down too early. And there's not a whole lot of workarounds, because if you're locked out of resources, you're probably not going to be in a position to steal an agenda to get rid of it.
That's true. Sometimes you just got to bite the bullet and click for credits. It's right on the cusp of I think, being really, really good, like from a design standpoint, because it's the kind of current that makes you say, I need to slot in countercurrents.
Yeah.
So maybe the solution is just to give runners better countercurrents. They've spoiled a criminal current that looks pretty solid, way better than the one they have now. The one they have now is like the corp can't install more than one piece of ice per turn, which is garbage. So, but the new one is like every time you install a card, the corp loses one or something.
Yeah, that's really good.
Or maybe it's the first time per turn. Yeah. But yeah, so now if I'm looking at criminal, I'm like, okay, I don't have Magnum Opus Infection. I'm going to be relying on resources. I can't deal with scarcity of resources with this deck strategy. So now I got to put in two or maybe even three of this. But it's rewarding. It's doing what I want to do anyway. I'm building my rig, denying money. My D-res effects are stronger. Maybe we just need to see more currents like that for the runner side. What do you guys think about the Jinteki stuff that we've seen? Obakata is already restricted, but Potential Unleashed did really well. Egg Infusion did really well. Probably both due in large part to Obakata. So does that need to be more than restricted? And then what about Potential Unleashed and Kakugo, which are also very strong?
I think you just run knifed in every deck.
Knife meta, new meta.
I was thinking Kakugo might be restricted, although I guess it would surprise me if they actually did that, because it is quite costly to pay to res for a one strength barrier.
Yeah.
Again, if you get it early in the game, it can do a lot of work. If you get it later in the game, it's not really that impactful.
Right.
So I would be surprised if that made it. Obakata, I don't think it'll be banned, but restricting Film Critic made it, I feel like, much more powerful than what it had been previously.
Mm-hmm.
Because Film Critic was everywhere for a while, and Obakata was essentially worthless at that point.
But now, Film Critic was everywhere because Obakata was really strong.
Right,
and
so there were those counters to it, and now I feel like most people have ditched Film Critic, which used to be a one-of card,
mm-hmm.
for the other restricted cards that they would include three of.
Yes.
So that... I don't think it's necessarily broken at this point. We'll see what happens in the future.
I will say Kakugo was probably designed with a Parasite in mind, just like so many other low-strength multi-sub ice has been in the past. Mm-hmm. Tour Guide, for example. Koma Inu is a good example. A lot of the next ice, next silver gains all the subs, that kind of thing. And now the Parasite's gone. I would like to see maybe more effects that interact with ice strength that can help nullify that ice. I was thinking, like, what if Parasite was a blue card that derez instead of trashed? Like, that seems pretty fair to me. And derezing a Kakugo is no joke, because you got to pay four to res it, right? So, right. You know, I would
now,
like to see.
Now Los is broken, though, because that's so powerful.
okay, maybe not broken, but maybe playable.
Right.
Well, criminal is just hurting in general. Anyway,
if that idea is playable, it's broken.
Okay. I'm sorry, it's no Laramie Fisk.
But yeah, otherwise, Potential Unleashed, although it's probably not in accordance with my play style, is still, I think the choices that you have to make as runner and where how you have to learn to play against Potential Unleashed and say, okay, every draw is helping me with their win condition of decking me. That is interesting.
I mean, that deck that Dan played at Worlds, I played against a very similar one this past week in a GNK, and I just didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I mean, they get good ice on the centrals, Kakugo.
DNA tracker.
DNA, sure. Just stuff you can't run through multiple times, and every time you run through Kakugo, you're losing two cards against PU.
Right.
If you don't run, then they're shipping from 10 in,
mm-hmm.
and they score out House of Knives, which is doing two damage every time. I just didn't really see a lot of outs there.
And it's weird too, because if you say, well, maybe you just need a slot feedback filter, I don't really like the design space of Caldera or feedback filter, where you can just pay money to avoid net damage indefinitely. So now I'm thinking, like, what if they made like a Plascreet that was for net damage, which had counters on it? But if you put in any kind of net damage thing like that, just totally nukes that whole design strategy of PU and PE. So I don't know, man.
You got the synthetic blood. Every time you take a damage, draw a card.
There you go. There you go. That's good stuff.
But that's even helping PU.
Yeah, that is further to the cause.
Well, you don't win against Jinteki unless you take risks, so.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I just feel like playing against that deck, if you're not able to win within, like, the first five or six turns, you're not going to. Unless you're heavily teched against what the deck's doing.
I think what makes it so tricky is having Obakata and Future Perfect available in the same decks.
Yeah.
Because that essentially makes HQ and R&D runs very, very tricky to steal agendas there.
Right.
Either you take four damage, hoping they don't have a Ben Musashi mm-hmm. in the root, or you have to play a game and hope that you guess correctly.
Yeah.
Or you're playing Film Critic, but then you're not as good against every other faction.
Right, right.
And you don't have Magnum Opus or Levy or play Strike. So.
Right, right. I don't know. I don't think it's too strong yet. But honestly, I think it's at a high power level that is not impossible to play around. which is probably the ideal for competitive games, right? Where it's at a high power level, it's not easy to beat, but at the same time, if you're smart and you're practiced in that matchup, you can do okay. So
just put in a heartbeat. You're all set.
That was some sick tech, though. shout outs to Greg Tung for that hot heartbeat, dude. That was gnarly. Yeah, so speaking of, what about this brain rewiring combo that we saw a ton of? Like, that's probably going to continue to dominate Store Champ season because there's not really a lot of good counterplay except for, like, odd damage protection.
Yeah. There's nothing really against meat damage right now, so...
Is it Yoragni of Mercs?
Yeah, that's. I don't know if it's worth the influence,
though. Biometric spoofing.
Yeah.
Citadel Sanctuary.
Do you have a window for a Sports Hopper to draw up between when that's going on? I don't think you do.
No,
yeah.
You don't.
Okay.
Because they can trigger all their stuff at the same time. Well, unless Contract Killer, because that's a click ability. So yeah. In that case, you would.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's weird. I don't really understand why brain rewiring is like a card. I guess the idea is that it's supposed to be like a tempo agenda where you force them to shuffle in a bunch of their cards. But like, why? Like why does that exist? Because clearly if it's they shuffle in their whole hand and draw one, that has to be part of a kill combo.
Yeah.
Like that's the only reason why that agenda exists. And now it's a problem because no matter what the runner does ahead of time, you score out 1-3 for one, and now they're down to one card, no matter what you do. So, I think
those are a lot of the issues that this game sometimes faces, that whether intentionally or not, you end up in situations where a win condition is possible without giving the other person a chance to respond. Mm-hmm. So in other games like Magic, there's always that
like instant window.
Instant ability that they can to play a card to counter what you're doing. But because the current player has the option to do as many paid abilities in a row without the other player getting a chance, I think it's very tricky to make things that are powerful, effective, but don't allow them to be pulled off without giving someone a chance to say, hold on, wait a second, I have a solution to this that I can activate.
Yeah, so I will say this Store Champ season, you're going to want some kind of damage protection because I don't think they're going to do anything about a rewiring combo. And regardless on if they restrict the clearances or something, like if CI still exists in any way, I think it's going to be possible to pull off some kind of rewired combo. So two spoofing or on the lamb, actually. On the lamb would do the trick too, which is an awesome tech card because that's also good against hard-hitting news or snare or whatever. So.
I still think Fairchild 3 is a problem.
It's just real strong.
Yeah.
It's just real strong.
Honestly, I feel like the best way to fix Fairchild, and I know they would never do this, is to increase the res cost.
Yeah, functional res.
If it was like 7 or 8.
If it costs the same as Tolbooth,
yeah.
Make it 8. Done. Or they can make it 7 and strength 4, now that Yogg's gone.
Yeah.
Because the only reason it's 5 is because Yogg was there. And.
But, I mean, there's no way to do that without just banning Fairchild 3 and then making Fairchild 3.1.
Yeah, they're
or something
not gonna,
like that.
They're not gonna.
Your best ice is Fairchild right now.
So. Absolutely. Yeah. It's by far your best ice, I think. Although Fairchild 2 is a sneaky git because that sucker is still like 4 to break with Accordion Blade and it only costs you 4 to res or 0 if you're playing Architects of Tomorrow. So
Value Town.
Welcome to Value Town.
So you said a Gordian Blade and it sounded to me like Accordion Blade. And I thought that would be a sweet instrument.
That
Please
would be.
Put Weird Al on the card.
Yeah. Accordion Blade.
What was that, Final Fantasy VIII, was it, with a gun blade?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just like that. But is really good at playing Polka or Zydeco. That's right, Zydeco references on this podcast. Okie dokie. Welcome to Game Day, where we're going to talk about our super awesome Worlds party. That's right. We had a party about Worlds where we watched Worlds and talked about it. It was like sports, but instead of sports, we were watching Netrunner.
And much like sports commentators, the Netrunner commentators weren't very good.
Well, they were lacking in some things.
Yeah. So
you're going to get an ex-player up there to comment for you.
It's kind of like the Joe Buck
Oh yeah.
Commentary.
So sorry to interrupt.
They were pulling for a certain team, like clearly not neutral.
Sorry to interrupt. Fun fact: I have actually taken a to-go order at IHOP for Joe Buck. Way back in like 2007, he's from St. Louis. I worked at an IHOP.
Yeah.
He came in. He was on his way to the airport for a flight. He got, I think it was like scrambled eggs and onions or something.
Classic Joe
Left
Buck.
Left me a nice tip. Nice guy.
Terrible commentator.
Say what you will.
Well, we all have the same opinion about Joe Buck.
What was it like? Like some CI game starts off and they like play a hedge fund and then click the draw and then click the play violet level and like the commentators were like, well, look at that. You got cards. You got credits. What more do you want? Well, yeah. This is a game about managing resources, and those are the resources.
I believe there's another game where they're like, oh, I think that he's going with the flat line here, or he's trying to square out agendas.
Well, those would be the two win conditions, so yes.
And how is he going to do that? With cards and credits.
Oh, yeah,
you need cards and credits. Yeah, cards and credits.
Seems good. Yeah. No, they just didn't talk about – they never talked about what the players might be thinking. They just talked about, like, those are cards, and, like, those are – those. One time, with cards, I did this. And really?
I think a lot of us were talking about when we first started playing Netrunner, we watched, like, Team Covenant videos or Code Marvelous or somebody who would kind of go through the thinking process and really talk about what was going on a play-by-play basis. And that helps new players learn how to play Netrunner.
Absolutely.
Just to get into the heads and hear about what the players are thinking.
Right. And understand, you know, when they're not just, like, running haphazardly, why not? What are they playing around? What are they concerned about? Mm-hmm. Are they concerned about a hard-hitting news in this matchup because they know their opponent's deck list? And, you know, like, what are all the different considerations that you have to make? What are the things that you're watching out for? Also, commentators that are, like, you know, like, which cards are, like, legal. I'm surprised I didn't see more Quandary. Well, it's because Quandary's gone. Sorry. So anyway, I'm going to start my campaign now. Yeah. You heard it here first. I want to be a world's commentator next year. So tweet at FFGOP, Graham Carlson for commentation.
Commentation
2018.
Hashtag Chilo City Grid.
Hashtag Chilo City Grid. Yeah, no, but we had this cool party.
It was a fair fun party, commentators aside.
Thanks for hosting, Jake.
You're welcome. It was a wild party. We had people puking and
Yeah, we did, man. Oh my gosh.
All-nighter.
Never run a card. Yeah, well, that's because someone wait, hold on, let me go back and make this joke. Yeah, man. Do you remember that one babe who was there? Cause baby? Cause
it was a
David's
real symmetrical visage.
Yeah, yes. There we go. David, you brought your 1-year old Luke to the party, did you?
I was baby duty, so I brought him here. I was like, I'm going out. I'm bringing the baby.
That's right. Luke had a good time.
He did. I got a little too overconfident on the pigs in a blanket, and he had too much in one.
That's right. But you know what? If you don't want to deal with baby problems, don't hang out with babies. You know what I'm saying?
So they were not pigs in a blanket, to be fair.
Oh, okay.
They were Cerberus Snuggies.
I love the idea of Cerberus Snuggies so much. Ladies in a blanket, perhaps?
Ladies in a blanket.
Rex Wraps? Cujo Cuddles?
Cujo Cuddles, yeah. Well, we had Lady in the Red Dress dipping sauce.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You brought that guacamole, yeah?
The Advanced Avocado Protocol, you mean?
The Avocado Protocol. Advanced, because it's not just an avocado.
Correct.
It's guacamole.
Advanced.
That's really good.
We had Pup E Chow.
Pup E Chow, I like that, because Pup is a card.
And E is a electronic
right thing.
Chip. Chips. Cute coherence chips and dip.
Cute coherence chips and dip. I brought birthday cake. Oh, birthday protocol cake. Maybe it was rebirth day.
Another birthday, another birth page.
That's the one. I feel like I brought something else. Oh, Quetzal's queso. I brought some Quetzal's queso. That was a hit. But yeah, man, we just washed worlds and had a good time and got in a couple games.
Scorched Earth beer, too.
Yeah, Scorched Earth Brewery. Sponsored by Scorched Earth Brewery.
You know, if you say delicious. That, they have to pay you then.
That's true. That's true. So fork it over.
Like $1,000.
Fork it over. It's part of my Temujin contract. Guys, that's a card.
I see.
It used to be a card.
It's hit it with the band hammer.
As a father, I feel very disappointed I haven't contributed a single pun to this conversation.
Oh my god, get on the dad joke train, Dave. Come on. You're killing me.
So just a quick side note here. Jake is currently in the forging business right now. He's working on a sledgehammer for Worlds next year.
That's right.
You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I'm going to quit my job,
nice.
Dedicate my every waking second of my life to Netrunner.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make it to the finals of Worlds next year, and I'm going to be playing Ed Kim,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to have a massive 50-pound sledgehammer that I'm going to put on the table over my ID to
there kind you
of
go.
Match the energy of Dan with his potato.
Dan D'Argenio had the potato on top of his potential unleashed deck.
And then if I lose in the finals, I can just take the sledgehammer and let out my frustration by just smashing tables.
So are you really going to commit, though? Or are you going to cut off one of your arms in the process to really get into character?
We'll see. I'm exploring various options at this point.
Okay. Right.
I'm not closing any doors.
Maybe you could just...
high risk, though, so it could be an accident.
Right, right.
That's how I assume it happened to Eddie.
It's okay, because...
A mining accident?
Ooh.
Ooh, that's a card! That's a card! No,
because... Jake's had worse.
Oh, that's true. You could just wear a mitten if you wanted to, like, not use your left hand without cutting it off.
No, I might just cut it off, but I'm afraid we'll go to time, though, because I'm constantly going to have to be putting down my cards, managing credits, picking my cards back up.
Yeah.
Hmm. So. Maybe they can have a judge there who holds your cards for you?
Could be,
You just point?
Yeah, or I'll just get something that I like those harmonica things you can put around your
I'll just put
my cards in those so I can see.
Like the Domino's holders, you know? I'm sure they make one to slot your cards.
Yeah.
Like Scrabble.
Yeah,
but
there you go.
I kind of like the thing that goes around your neck.
What if it works for you?
Right.
Then you can pick up the cards with their teeth.
Yeah, there you go.
That might take some practice.
Right. That's
why you want a year.
Yeah.
So then my follow-up question is, why was our Worlds party awesome? And why are we going to do it again next year?
Well, I was there. That's the first.
Awesome Jake was thing. There. So if you, listener, can get your own Jake, your party will, too, be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you're just hanging out with the people that you see every week to play Netrunner with, eating good food. I mean, it was like a Super Bowl party.
Yeah.
But for Netrunner, it's...
That's a good comparison, I think.
You know, that something's on the TV or just hanging out with good friends. Like everybody in the Netrunner community is super friendly. We saw one of our meta mates on the screen
and
texted him pictures of him as we were watching it.
Shout outs to Kevin.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think at one point we had like four or five different streams going. We had the TV and then a laptop with the Code Marvelous stream, and then a few people had their phones going as well. So full coverage. It was like a sports bar.
It was. So should we try to get a sports bar to host us next year and then take over a couple of their screens?
We kind of tried to this year.
Another Round does a lot of card game tournaments for people. When I used to play Warhammer Conquest, they did the tournament over there. So
if they'll do Conquest, they'll do Netrunner.
Yeah. I think that's where Manager Dave was trying to book originally.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Well, if we run into any trouble next year, I'll just bring in my sledgehammer, have a little there talk with them. And,
there you go. Although, if I'm commentating, I guess I won't be here for the party.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Because I'll be commentating with...
Well, you're going to get us all tickets, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be in the finals, so...
That's right. And I'm going to be your card holder, because that's the only way I'm getting to the finals. So.
Right.
Okay. You're
holding the cards for the guy with one hand.
Dave, what's your role in all this?
I think I need a co-host.
There you go. That's
bring
right.
Luke.
So you can bring Luke. And Luke will be my co-host.
He'll be two by then, so he'll have lots of words to add.
He'll also be a pro Netrunner player, I'm sure, by that point.
Oh, my gosh. That's going to be fun. So if you're curious about what happened at our Worlds party, you can always hit us up and contact us. Also, we posted some pictures to our local game store Facebook page and the Chicagoland Netrunner page, so you can check it out there. It's just a bunch of us dudes being handsome, talking about dude stuff, you know? Got cards. You got credits. What more do you want?
It's like winning life by either by either scoring agendas or killing other people.
That's right. Those are the two ways to win at life. Well, I guess that's it, huh? I guess that's the end of the podcast.
Other Netrunner news.
Uh-oh, we got news. We got news. It's time for the News Now Hour.
Did you hear they're casting for the Showtime show, yeah. Billions, I think it's called?
Yeah, yeah. What is that all about?
So I can tell you what it is. There's one writer who's a big Netrunner nerd, and he's like, I'm going to force this into the plot of one of the shows. And he somehow did it. He somehow got a
pool. Yeah, because, like, Dan D'Argenio is, like, a consulting, like, tech consultant or something.
Right.
For the movie. The
man who won't wear sleeves.
So have you guys ever seen the show?
No.
Is it on Showtime?
Yeah.
I don't get Showtime. I just get HBO and Stars.
I wonder what it's about. I wonder if it's going to be, like, a murder mystery where they have to solve the murder based on the Netrunner cards that the person was playing.
It's like a two financial bosses kind of going at it, I think, is what it's about.
Economic warfare.
Yes.
I don't. Yeah. I really like Netrunner. I think it's a great game. I wish more people played it. I think this is a dumb idea, though. I think it's such a small game that no one knows about, and they're going to spend so much money.
It might just be them, like, walking through a game shop where they're playing it. Like, that's all it could be.
Yeah. Why do they need to cast, like, actual Netrunner players? They're looking for people with Netrunner experience
I think they're looking for
casting
people that are part of the Actors Guild that know how to play Netrunner. I'm like, that Venn diagram is maybe like half a person. Someone who acts that, like, saw Netrunner on a shelf in a store one time.
They could just also get actors who, like, sit there, hold the cards, and say, I play hedge fund.
Yeah.
Billions.
It's a show. You can script the hands and the draw. Like, it's not a real game.
I heard someone had a theory that they were like, oh, yeah, we got to do this card game thing. We'll get Magic. And then, like, they couldn't get the rights to Magic or something went down with Wizards of the Coast. So they're like, okay, what's another popular card game that we can do?
Yeah, that's what I figured
out. And Netrunner's, like, the next best one.
Yeah.
Why do you need, like, a specific game? Unless it is going to be some critical plot point. Like, I think, Dave, you said earlier, it could just be someone walking through.
You still have to cast all that stuff.
But you can have people sitting at a table. It's like, put the
cards
on the table.
We're going to put these
cardboard coins in front of you. Don't touch them.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, you're playing Netrunner.
No, it's going to be some plot point then.
So there's a film critic.
Yeah.
Hey.
And there are employees on strike.
There you go. There you go. It's all going to be just a one big... It's all going to be one big allegory for what's happening in the plot. Where they're going to be, like, the plot of the episode is going to be, like, the game of Netrunner. All right, yeah, no, but we're done talking. We gotta end this crap. So, Jake, Matt, David, thank you so much for joining me, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
It was fun.
Yeah, you guys ready to play some Arkham?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Oh, my God. What was that?
I'm almost there.
Oh, there goes
that.
For more content like this, you can find us at least twice a month at shipmentfromshiloh.podomatic.com. You can shoot me a tweet at GrahamCrackerGo. My username on all things Netrunner is PureFlight. Thanks to Foundation for the amazing theme music, and thanks to you, avid listener, for listening in. That's our show. This is Graham Carlson signing out for the night. Stay safe, New Angeles, and join us next time on Shipment from Shiloh.
Make sure that gets in
I'll put it in the cuts. Yeah. This is all that we've just recorded right now, the past 6 minutes. I'm just going to put it at the end of the podcast after the music.
My undefeated PE deck over there.
Was that the first game?
Yeah. Well, Ian's undefeated too.
Done.
So. We have to have a PE versus Ian showdown here.
PE and.
Oh, Sam Adams, here's a fall.
Beers O' Fall.
That's after you drink too many beers, then you're
called, 23 pounds of pumpkin.
Oh, that's so dumb.
That was rough. That was a rough joke, my friend. Dumb. When you drink too many beers, you're peeing. If you talked in a British accent the entire podcast, would that be a bit culturally insensitive because we're Americans?
No, we're from the British, though.
We're from the British.
My ancestors aren't. I don't know. My ancestors were German.
No. But you're American, and as an American, you are from the British. That's the technical legal term for Americans.
I don't believe you.
You guys need to brush up on your
bullshit encyclopedia.
Black file. You look caught up in the black file. That's a minor third. All right, what you got?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a tritone.
It's probably closer. Go ahead. Do it again. It might be like actually just a whole step.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Drink some more.
Oh, you're right. Mine's lower than what I thought. You guys do it. I think you're out of tune, Matt. You're a little sharp.
Just keep it down, drink. This is a weird drinking game. It's like a music major drinking game. This is what we did in college, man. Welcome, runners, and thanks for
Hello, Edie.
How's it going, Edie? Run last click?
No, I know. You're just like, keep going. I'm entertained here. I was shocked at how offensive you guys were with your British accent.
So offensive.
It was pretty racist.
You're not going to put that stuff with the bottles in, right? I thought you turned off the recording already.
The light's on. The light's on. It's recording.
You can't put this in either.